Podcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Here's your host, Jake Shannon.
To the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon, and I am really excited today. I've had one hell of a busy couple of weekends. I was in Orlando the last two weekends, but I flew home in between. The prior weekend, I was there at Dave Patrone's gym doing a Scientific Wrestling camp. Came home for a minute and then headed right back out because Joshua Duke asked me to do commentary for the Zapatero Invitational. And, you know, it's kind of exciting. I mean, that event has really kind of kicked a hornet's nest in every grappling market, it seems. And I was there live. It was really an exciting event. It was just really great. So I'm excited today because I have with us the new Zapatero catch-as-catch-can champion, Quentin Rosenzweig. Quentin, are you there?
I'm here, man.
Hey,
don't forget the lineal champ too.
What's that?
I said, don't forget the lineal champ too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, how are you feeling after the event? I mean, both physically, but then also with kind of the fallout afterwards.
Oh, I mean, I feel great. I didn't break a sweat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was only like 2 minutes or
not
something.
Not sore at all. Right back to training.
Yeah,
yeah, I think
it was
a minute of that was just the reset.
About 2 minutes that you wrestled, right? You only had about 2 minutes on the mat.
Yeah. I think if you don't count the reset, it's less than a minute.
Oh, that's unbelievable. So what do you make of all the fallout? Because obviously the BJJ community is blowing up. The catch wrestling community is blowing up. I don't know if you're even following any of that kind of thing. I know Gordon Ryan gave out a huge blog or Instagram post about the event. What's your take on all the fallout?
I mean, Gordon's always going to complain, and he's always going to try to put everyone down. And at the end of the day, Curran stepped on the mat with me, and Gordon won't. So I have more respect for Curran than I do for Gordon at this point.
Wow. Well,
but, I mean, I think it just kind of went crazy. Like the catch wrestling, like, split in half on, like, what they thought about it. Like, some people are like, oh, it's not catch because I sat guard. And it's like, it's easier for him to pin me if I'm on my butt. Like, they made all these claims for the years that, like, if a jiu-jitsu-style guy with, like, butt scoot would come in, that he would just get slammed or pinned in seconds and it would never work. Well, it worked, and it worked really well.
Yeah, I mean, that arm
but besides
drag,
that, like, the jiu-jitsu guys haven't been too hard, but except for the Gordon. But I don't know. I don't buy into that hostility. I've had fun playing with some of the catch wrestling fans. They get kind of crazy. Like, one guy was, like, calling me a coward and said I was running. I was like, I tapped him in, like, less than a minute. How was I running?
Well, it's interesting because I think that, you know, the event, you know, there's kind of two ways I think that people look at catch wrestling, and that's where some of the confusion comes in. You know, for me personally, the night was very exciting. The match was, like, high-paced, and, I mean, you guys, even though it was short, you guys, there was no stalling, there was no BS. I mean, you guys just went at it, and that, from the perspective of somebody in the stands, is just fantastic. But I think that people look at catch wrestling two ways, and they get a little confused. You know, there is, like, the traditional, like, what is a catch wrestler, and, you know, that there's this canon of technique and kind of the, you know, it's more of a style. And then there's the other side where it's just a set of rules. It's just another set of rules, like EBI or anything else. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they want to have it both ways, but you can't. Like, the fact is that the catch wrestling market is dwarfed by the Brazilian jiu-jitsu market. I mean, it is just dwarfed. So for us to have the sport grow, we have to allow stud athletes like you to come in and test yourself on the rules. And, you know what, and maybe you could speak to this, but one of the things that I've always heard, because I, you know, I kind of launched the market for competitive catch wrestling back in 2007, and a lot of other people have taken the baton and run further with it than I did, which is great. I'm loving that. But, you know, what I've heard over the years a lot is that people are hesitant because of the pin, but you didn't seem to have any problem or any concern with the pin whatsoever. I mean, did you have any trepidations coming from, you know, I mean, and again, any of you guys that are interested, check out Quentin's his gym. It's 10th Planet Savannah, 10psav.com. But did you have any trepidations about the pin? Were you concerned about it?
No, because like I understood that he would have to pass my guard to get a pin. And I'd seen his matches in the past, and I knew he just wasn't going to have guard passing. At least guard passing would put me in trouble. And I've also trained it like with amazing wrestlers, and I know I'm hard to pin as it is. Like, I've gone against huge guys that weren't able to hold me down. Kern's not that big.
So I wasn't worried. Let's talk a little bit about some of the wrestlers that you've worked with. I know that you've been in some really tough rooms.
I've trained with this guy, Arsen, who is a Armenian Olympic silver medalist. I've gotten to work with him. My buddy Anton was a Russian national champion. My buddy Khalil up at Morris Fitness in Atlanta, Georgia, was like third on a national team. My two main training partners for almost my entire career, Paul and Sergio Ardia, were NWIA, like All-Americans, and Paul was like a two-time national champ. Like, if you're going to put a wrestler up against me, I know wrestling. Like, I was thinking of doing U.S. Nationals last year just as something to stay competitive because I have trouble getting jiu-jitsu matches. So I was like, oh, I'll do U.S. Nationals for wrestling. What if I, like, fuck around and make a world team? And I was like, that would be cool. But then jiu-jitsu picked up a little bit, so I didn't get to. But I'd like to do that one year, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see I totally get your strategy. And I get also why a lot of the kind of the fans, it kind of blew their mind that you decided just to sit down because that's such like a non-wrestling kind of a strategy. But clearly it worked to your advantage. The thing that's funny to me is that, you know, you won the first one, the first fall. It was by triangle choke, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a technically a move that falls both into kind of the traditional Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu canon of technique and as well as catch wrestling. It's called a figure four choke in catch wrestling. But what I find particularly amazing about what you did is that the second fall, you won with a knee bar, and leg locks are catch wrestling techniques. I mean, Sambo acknowledges this. This isn't like controversial all to say, is that leg locks really kind of have been in the catch wrestling canon since, you know, the 1800s. We have photos and such to prove that. So what do you say to the people that, I mean, I know what I would say. I would say to anybody that says you're not a catch wrestler, well, clearly you are. And not only that, you're a champion catch wrestler. But what do you say to some of the fans that maybe were, that aren't saying you're not a catch wrestler or whatever?
I mean, I'm whatever I'm competing in. I had this conversation with somebody on Facebook the other day where they were asking me, like, oh, are you going to represent catch? And I was like, I represent whatever sport I'm in. At the end of the day, like, there is no catch wrestling. There's no Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's all grappling. Yeah. I implement aspects from all arts. If you're doing just one, you're so behind the curve, you're never going to catch up. So, I mean, that's what I think about that.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that's the thing, the shift in mindset that has to happen, especially for this sport to grow and to attract more, you know, high quality athletes like yourself, is that we have to be looking at this like it is a rule set, and everything you did was well within the rule set. There was nothing you did that was questionable within the rule set.
Yeah, I don't get the people that say like I should be pinned while I have a submission. I was like, wait a minute, isn't the job to finish the other person? Like, it pins what you get if you can't submit somebody.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a quibbling that, yeah, I mean, but I tend to agree if you're trying to attract a grappling audience, because the thing that people don't realize, a lot of these people don't realize, is that in catch-as-catch-can wrestling, just like jiu-jitsu, just like MMA, just like almost any sport, there are slight variations in the rule set depending on the promotion you work for. And there are some catch-as-catch-can organizations that put on events, and there's no chokes allowed. And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying that, you know, in today's world, if we're trying to appeal to a broad grappling market, you have to allow chokes. Well, I think the same could be said for the fact if the referee, the third man in the ring, determines that you are actively working on a submission, that you should that you're not in trouble, that you're not really being pinned. It could depend on the promotion, but for this promotion, that's how they judged it, and I think it makes sense to attract a larger grappling audience.
I just don't even get that from like the martial arts perspective, because at the end of the day, like, these are the like arts of war. Like, yeah, we've made them into a sport, but the job wasn't just to like put a man down. It was to finish him. That's what I do. I go out there to finish. I don't think points. I don't think rule sets. Well, I'll think the rule sets a little bit, like if it's somebody that's going to give me like a loss, but my job is always to get the finish. Like, it's kill or be killed.
Now I have a question about the match, a couple of them. One, I want you to explain the rib popping move first, but second, in that same kind of few moments when there was a rope break, I'm just going to be real, and I'm not being controversial, because you know, Curran is game and came and met you, and you guys had a match, and that, I mean, it's just part of the game. Somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, and it's just the business. And there's, you know, and nothing, I'm not going to speak to any of that kind of stuff, but it certainly, to me, when you were under the ropes there, it looked like you had him in an armbar, and it kind of looked like he was tapping. I mean, it looked like he was coming around and
he tapped before the ref came in. I mean, if you go by like most rule sets for most grappling organizations, I tapped him 4 times.
So with
a rib pop.
You would count the rib pop as rib another pop, tap, a verbal tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he screamed. Like, pretty high pitch.
Yeah, I was amazed. So explain that maneuver, because a lot of people just think it was like some fluke thing. But
I went double arm drag.
It was that double arm drag that you set up, and then when he kind of tried to move out of that triangle, it seemed like he moved the wrong way.
Well, so I was on his back, and he was trying to stuff his head into the back of my knee, which is a pretty like common folk style wrestling move. So I knew if he did it enough, I could readjust on my grips and set it to almost like a triangle and attack the Kimura from there, which is what I did. Just most people instead will turn down to their back and expose the arm or the triangle. He tried to flex his way out of it, and as he flexed, I pulled back, and I could hear the cartilage separating on his ribs. His ribs didn't break. His cartilage just popped. So, but it was like three of them.
So you set that up with that far side one-on-one. Is that right? When you're reaching on the far side.
I grabbed my ankle. No, I grabbed my ankle underneath. And I took my left hand, slid it through, and then came back and got like the double wrist lock or Kimura, and then trapped the head and rolled through on it.
I see. Yeah, that was pretty gnarly. Yeah. I did message Curran briefly and asked him. I said, hey, I was going to have you on the podcast. And I said, you know, anything that you wanted me to say. And he said, this is a quote from him: tell him to enjoy his moment, and then I'm rooting for him to keep the strap until we meet again for the rematch. So it sounds like, you know, I will say this about Curran. You know, I mean, Gordon was just ruthless on the guy. And I know you're not a fan of Gordon either. But he was pretty ruthless on the guy, and you know what had Curran had done to try to get a booking with Gordon is kind of what he had done to Josh Barnett, and he's done to a number of people. He'd kind of run me down. It's like it was a modus operandi, but I think Curran had some very bad people giving him very bad advice for years, and I'm hoping that it seems like he's really turned the corner, like he's kind of really taking a little more seriously as a professional and looking at it less like a Conor McGregor kind of promotional disaster, instead like really looking at the fight. How was your experience with him as an athlete? He didn't run you down or do anything crazy like that online, or did he?
No, I mean, they said he would wanted a match with me, and I'm not someone to turn down anyone. Like, if you're a man and step on the mat with me, I'll have a match with you. Mama didn't raise no bitch. Like, there's too many guys in these sports that are like, oh, I'm the best, but cool, you're the best on that day. Let's see what happens the next day.
That's right.
And again, props to Curran. I think for him, the biggest thing was he was so successful for so long doing his style. And he beat some decent guys. Like, he beat my boy Johnny Buck, like, wore him down. Yeah, maybe Johnny wasn't in the right mindset or the best training camp at that time, but he still beat him. He beat like a bunch of really big, good guys, but he beat him by like attrition, not by technique. And when I watched his matches, I knew he was gonna be too slow. I knew he wasn't gonna be strong enough. And like, I faced Nick Rod. I faced guys that are monsters. Like, if you think some of these catch wrestling guys are scary, step out on like an ADCC qualifier mat and see how those guys are. Like,
So
there's different levels to this game.
speaking of Abu Dhabi's, you're going to the trials here in November, right?
Yeah, 100%. They're doing the East Coast trials. I think they're in Jersey, and I will be there. I made it to the quarterfinals last time I did the trials. So hopefully this time I make it all the way through.
Well, I know that you made a lot of fans in catch wrestling, but catch wrestling is notoriously contentious. So I know it polarizes. So probably as many fans as you made, you probably got as many people looking at you like you're a heel in pro wrestling or something. But I just want to say that it was a really impressive outing, and I do hope that you keep taking more of these catch wrestling rules bouts, because what I don't think people understand in the grappling community at large, a lot of people just don't seem to understand the pin, and they seem either threatened by it or something. And it really isn't that so much as the pin just moves the action and sometimes exposes guys to submission, or because you have to maybe get an arm up or move a different way, that it exposes you to more submissions. It's just a way to push the action.
Oh
What were
yeah, no,
you?
I definitely like training for it. I had a lot of fun working with that because I was had to be more aware of like being lazy. So I was up on my forearms more, definitely like a lot more movement. So like I definitely like that. It made my transition between guard and like wrestling a lot easier too because I was very aware of staying off my back.
So now that you've got Abu Dhabi's coming up, and then you're going to defend the belt, it's looking at like it's going to be Kuringa Conway, or potentially, depending on what happens with Snake Pit running their championship, because I know Kern's dropping down to middleweight to face Ian Jones. You may get Ian Jones as well, depending on how everything shakes out. Are you open to wrestling for other promoters? I mean, obviously, if they pay you, but like, I mean, are you just open to get on the mat and get your name out there?
I mean, my nickname's the Hitman for a reason. If there's money in a mat on there, my problem is finding opponents for things. It's never been competing.
It sometimes can be political, and guys don't really want to put stuff on the line or risk it once they've built up a name. So anybody that is looking to book you, is the best way for them to get a hold of you through the 10psav.com website?
Nope, hit me up on my Instagram. Quentin the Hitman Rosenzweig, or this might be Quentin Rosenzweig, but you'll find me there or through 10PSAV.
Okay, awesome. Well, a big thanks to Josh LeDuc for making the whole thing happen. It was fantastic. Thanks to Kenny Lester for all of his help. Big props to Curran and the Snake Pit guys for kind of last minute picking up and helping Curran there. But Quentin, it was really your night. Anything you want to say to the fans, either to piss them off or win them over?
Well, I will say I was a little mad that Snake Pit pulled away their endorsement of the belt beforehand. It's a kind of a cheat way to like keep it from staying unified. But whatever. I don't know. Keep sending me catch wrestlers. I'll keep sending them back broken. Watch for my instructionals. I'll probably be coming to a town near you if you're not in a COVID shutdown area soon for seminars. Watch my Instagram for my seminars. I always post techniques on there. What else? Also, watch my boy Emil Fischer take on my buddy Keith Kerkorian at the NetSAP Tarot Invitational. Hopefully, I'll be there doing commentary, trying to talk Josh into it. Outside of that, be nice to each other.
Dude, you're a real professional, and I appreciate you. Again, it was just a real pleasure to watch you grapple, and thanks for coming on the show, Quentin. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right, guys, that's Quentin Rosenzweig. He is the Zapatero Invitational Catch as Catch Can champion. Was that heavyweight, Quentin?
I believe so. Yeah. Heavyweight or open weight? I don't know what they said.
Yeah, I'd have to ask Josh. But guys, check him out at 10psav.com. Also, watch for him at the Abu Dhabi trials coming up, the East Coast trials. And then to defend his belt against, I think it's Karinga Cronway right now, but that might change. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And check out the fights on YouTube. I think you can go to Zapatero Invitational on Facebook. And LeDuc has put it either on YouTube or Facebook, something like that. It's out there.
It's on
out
both.
It's Facebook?
It's both.
Yeah, and it's free. So, guys, just go watch it. It was really a great event. Well, thanks, Quentin. I appreciate your time, buddy.
Of course, man.
Okay, I look forward to seeing you on the mats again. Guys, stay tuned. Hopefully, we'll have another show here real soon. And meanwhile, you know, check out scientificwrestling.com, and we'll keep you apprised of everything. Take care, Quentin.
Later, Matt.